His name was Isaac. Isaac means laughter. But that day, Isaac was not laughing. Isaac was on his way home from Mount Moriah. He certainly wasn't laughing. He was pondering. He was pondering about what had just happened to him on Mount Moriah. Isaac knew that his father loved him. So how could he bind me, place me on that altar, and take his knife to slay me? And he would have killed me if God had not intervened. Let's turn to Genesis 22 and get a few verses regarding Isaac's experience on Mount Moriah. Genesis 22. We'll be beginning at verse 1. We'll be reading verse 1 and 2 and then jumping to verse 9. Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So, now, Isaac is on his way home, pondering as he thought about what had happened to him and what almost happened to him on Mount Moriah. What lessons did Isaac learn on Mount Moriah? Well, for one thing, Isaac learned about proper priorities. He learned that he did not come first with his dad. God did. So if God said to Abraham, Offer Isaac, whom you love, as a burnt offering to me, Abraham would do it. Almost did do it. Yes, Isaac learned that God meant more to Abraham than did his beloved son Isaac. God meant more to Abraham than Isaac's feelings or comfort or very life. That message came through loud and clear to Isaac. Question. The lesson that Isaac learned that day, would that be helpful or harmful to him? Wouldn't it be harmful to Isaac's self-image? Well, listen, the Bible never teaches us to protect or cultivate or even be concerned about our self-image. What the Bible teaches us is to have proper priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It was good for Isaac to learn proper priorities from his dad that day, that way. It was good for him to lie terrified on that altar. He would never forget that. It is far better to be taught proper priorities than taught to have a good self-image. The alternative, of course, is to teach our children that they come first, that their desires, their comforts, their fun, that's what's important. But all that does is to reinforce our children's sinful nature, which is always shouting, "Me first!" It is very difficult for children that have been taught that they come first. It is very difficult for them to ever put Christ first. Not impossible, but very difficult. Spoiled children seldom become servants of Christ. Spoiled children seldom wind up in the ministry. Here's another lesson that Isaac learned that day. God wants his children to fear him. That's what Abraham's test was all about. Did he really fear God? So when Abraham took a hold of that knife and God stopped him and said to him, this is what he said, "Now I know that you fear God." Abraham was not the only one who heard those words that day. Isaac heard them too. And it was clear that God was not criticizing Abraham for fearing him. He was complimenting him. Yes, Isaac learned that God wants his children to fear him. We might have expected God to say, "Now I know that you love me." But that's not what he said. "Now I know that you fear God." Abraham passed God's test, God's fear test, with flying colors. Did you know that our fear of God is very important to God? 28 Old Testament books and 15 New Testament books, a total of 43 books of the Bible, refer to this fear of God. In addition, there are 43 references to the fear of God in the New Testament alone. And just what is this fear of God? Some suggest that the fear of God is a deep reverence for God. Oh, that's part of it. But it's much more than deep reverence. The fear of God is a deep reverence for God, but the fear of God is also to be awed by God's majesty. And the fear of God is to dread God's hand of judgment. Whatever definition you have for the fear of God, don't leave out the fear. Abraham, "Now I know that you feared God because you obeyed him." What a compliment to Abraham. He feared God. "Pastor Bob, I thought that we were to love God. I thought that our love for God would prompt our obedience to him. Didn't Christ say in John 15:14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments?" Yes, yes, and yes. We are to love God deeply. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." But Deuteronomy 6, verse 2 says, "That you may fear the Lord your God." 1 Peter 2:7 is an amazing verse. It encapsulizes the whole Christian life in 10 words. Here is the Christian life in a nutshell. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. That's the Christian life. That's not how to become a Christian. But that is what is to characterize every Christian's life. So which is it? Are we to love God or are we to fear God? Brethren, if God tells us to love him, we need to love him. If God tells us to fear him, we need to fear him. It's not one or the other. It's both. It's both at the same time. Can we comprehend that? Maybe not. But do it anyway. We do not have to comprehend the why, the how, in order to obey. God, you want me to fear you. God, you want me to love you. I will. I will. Let me tell you something about the Apostle John. None of the disciples were as close to Jesus Christ as was John. At the Passover meal, it was John who sat next to Christ and leaned upon his breast. None of the other disciples did that. No one wrote more scripture about God's love for us and our love for him than did John. None of the disciples served Christ as long as John did. No one loved Christ more than John. But when Christ appeared to John later in his life, on the Isle of Patmos, John did not rush to embrace Christ. He fell at his feet as though he were dead. He was terrified, and rightly so. Can we love God and fear God at the same time? John did. On Mount Moriah, Isaac learned that God wants his children to fear him. He heard that voice right out of heaven. "Now I know that you fear God." A third lesson that Isaac learned on Mount Moriah is that God is pleased when we trust him. And for that, we'll go to Hebrews 11, a little bit farther back in the Bible, or farther ahead, I guess. Hebrews chapter 11. Would you like to turn to that, please? We're going to begin reading at verse 17. Hebrews 11, 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son." Here's one of the promises. "Of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham, I know that you love God. I know that you fear God. But I still don't see how you could take that knife to kill him, your son. The answer is, Abraham trusted God. As we saw, and it is found in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Genesis, God had made a promise to Abraham. Can you count on God's promises? God had made a promise to Abraham. His promise was that his seed would proceed through Isaac. In Isaac shall your seed be blessed. Isaac would have children. At this point in his life, of course, Isaac was not even married. He had no children. And so here's Abraham. You know, Isaac went home from Mount Moriah pondering. Abraham came to Mount Moriah pondering. And so he's pondering. God promised me. Now he's told me to kill the son that he promised me would have children. He pondered and pondered. And so he settled it. He just came to this conclusion. God promised me. Now he tells me to kill him. If I kill him, God's going to keep his promise. He'll raise him back from the dead. That's how come he could do it. He believed God's promise. Isaac will have children. You kill him. And so Abraham thought, okay, but God will bring him back from the dead. But Abraham, at your time in history, nobody had ever been brought back from the dead. Nobody. Where would he get the idea that God would bring him back from the dead? Nobody ever had. I don't care. I believe that somehow God will keep his promise. But Abraham, Isaac is going to be a burnt offering. His body will be consumed by the fire. His body will be gone. How can God bring back life to a body that doesn't exist? I don't care. I believe that God is able to keep his promise no matter what. Abraham believed that nothing anywhere, anyhow, anytime, anyway, could keep God from keeping his promise. And so, Abraham took the knife. Now, we know that things did not work out as Abraham envisioned. God interfered. God had a better solution. He did not allow Abraham to slay Isaac. He could have. And he could have brought him back from the dead, even though his body was consumed by the flames. He could have. But instead, God provided a ram to die in place of Isaac. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who died in our place. But though Abraham's solution to his dilemma was wrong, he thought God would bring him back from the dead. No, that's not the solution God chose. Even though his solution was wrong, his faith in God was right on. He believed that somehow God would fulfill his promise. And so, God commended him for his faith. And he confirmed the promise that he had made before about Isaac. He confirmed that promise to Abraham. How did he confirm it? Do you remember? It's back in Genesis, we're told. He confirmed it with his own holy, immutable oath. I swear he will have seed. Isaac heard that oath too. He was right there. The scripture tells us God spoke out of heaven. It doesn't say Abraham had a vision or something. It said God spoke out of heaven. Abraham heard it. Isaac heard it. He learned that God is pleased when we trust him. Of course, in addition, Abraham's faith was recorded in Hebrews 11 in faith's Hall of Fame as a tribute to Abraham and as an example to us. Isaac went to school on Mount Moriah. This is what he learned. He did not come first with his dad. God did. God wants his children to fear him. And God is pleased when we trust him, no matter what. I wonder, what would it take for us to learn those truths? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your majesty. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your word. Today, that which has been of you, may the Spirit of God burn in our hearts that we might never forget what Isaac learned. In Jesus' name, amen.